Government Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 25th on the West Coast, now February the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And got a little bit of echo there. Seth, if you can back something off there. I'm sounding like Bill Haley in the comments a little bit. We'd like to welcome everyone listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well as on blogtalkradio.com. And if you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, you know that we've been covering a lot of really interesting issues the last few days. Certainly the cover-ups and the corruption, the attack on talk show hosts and journalists and truth tellers and researchers and on and on and on. And before we bring up tonight's guest, I thought I would take a moment and play a musical video that the long-legged Mac Daddy is credited for having done very recently. And I understand that the video images from this are credited to C-SPAN, but you won't see those. So just imagine a bunch of people clapping and dancing around as you listen to this.
Let me tell you. How it will be is one for you, 19 for me. I am the tax man, tax man, tax. I am the tax man, tax man, tax, 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 tax man. Should 5% appear too small, be happy I don't tax at all. I am the tax man, tax man, tax. I am the tax man, tax man, tax man. If you drive a car, drive, I will tax Main Street. If you try to fit, listen now, I will tax your seat. If you get too cold, I will tax the heat. If you take a walk, I will tax your feet. I am the tax man, tax man, tax. I am the tax man, tax man, tax, 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 tax man. One of the unique and wonderful things about America has always been our self-reliance, our rugged individualism, our fierce defense of freedom, and our healthy skepticism of government.
Don't ask me what I want for.
Mr. Wilson,
if you don't want to pay some more,
Mr. Heath, I am the tax man, tax man, tax. I am the tax man, tax man, tax, 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 tax man.
And my advice to those who die,
declare
the pennies on your eyes.
I am the tax man, tax man, tax. I am the tax man, tax man,
tax man. And you're all working, 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 working
for nobody
but me.
Tax, tax, tax,
tax man.
Well, that's tax man, long-legged Mac Daddy. And the person, I think, who put that together refers to him or herself as RX2008, so we want to give them credit, as well as the Beatles, who are the original composers and producers of that particular song. You Beatles fans out there. With that, I want to bring up for a little bit of commentary and surely a lively, spirited conversation this evening with none other than my good friend, former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, Drew Malone Raines III. He has his own show on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com Monday through Friday, or Tuesday through Saturday, depending on what part of the world you live in. And it's called A Marine's Disquisition. My good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
And yes, we'll give him a correction right off the bat. Our show is now heard live around the world.
Sunday too.
Sunday through Friday. Depending on where you are in the world, it could also be on Monday through Saturday, specifically down under there in Dunedin, New Zealand, and Brisbane, Australia. And thank you very much, we really appreciate it, though. With all kidding aside, Don, you and I both do a lot of radio shows during the week, and you know, if somebody jumped on me today and asked me why do I do it, and why don't I stop? Well, first of all, I do it because I love freedom and liberty and justice, regardless of what your nationality is, where you were born, or where you live in this world. I do believe that you should abide by the laws that your fellow citizens put forth and mandate so on your fellow citizens around you. I believe that we've got too much taxes, regardless of where you are. And if you think taxes are bad in the United States, you need to talk to those people in Greece. Friends of mine in Russia, especially the Ukrainians that I know, and some friends that live in Scotland, will tell you right up front that taxes are the downfall of most government, and you just can't tax everybody to death and flaunt it. We have the history of the French flaunting their wealth in the 1780s, and history provides us with the fact that in 1788, taxes were raised on the poor and downtrodden yet again, and they barely had enough to subsist their living on. And a year later, the people had literally petitioned, shouted, screamed, marched very thoroughly around France, begging the government for help and giving some form of a lifestyle in which they could survive without being total slaves. And the government, specifically the aristocrat, ignored them. Contrary to popular belief, Marie Antoinette did not say, let them eat cake. It is credited to her because of her attitude toward the people, but in all honesty, she never said it. It really came from one of the Earl's wives, and what came about was the beheading of the aristocrats and throughout France, over 1 million in less than 4 years were beheaded, and many of the streets in France ran red with blood daily for a four-year period. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you stop and think about it. How bad it was it in 1788 to get the people to march on and in around Paris, and to the point where they started to behead their leaders? Is what's happening today here in the United States of America.
We got a Congress that just gave themselves a raise again.
And that was what I was about to lead up to.
Oh,
exactly.
Really?
I was about to lead up to the fact that that right here in the United States of America, our congressmen have given themselves a raise, raised the salary of the President of the United States, all the while bailing out their buddies and friends in the banking system, much like the French aristocrats did in 1788. And here we are today. We actually have one person in Washington, D.C. that runs around like a Nazi general demanding that all of her fellow congressmen bow down to her, and she spends, as she spends, $500,000 a week traveling back and forth from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco, California, and literally the aircraft, the pilot, the crew, and her personal bodyguards that are paid for now by you all waste this money because Nancy Pelosi feels that she deserves an aircraft at your taxpayer expense. Now, you feel that you don't pay taxes when you don't fill out your April the 15th slave form. Well, I haven't filled out an April the 15th slave form, ladies and gentlemen, for 22 years, but I still pay taxes, more taxes than I want now. Look at your telephone bill. Don, look at your telephone bill. How many of you really look at your telephone bill? And you'll notice that even in Louisiana or Arkansas, where you actually have the availability of emergency measured rate lead, a measured rate lead in Arkansas costs $9.95. But when the federal government gets through with all the mandate fees and taxes onto that $9.95 a month measured rate service, the bill is now $18.35, almost a full double.
Yeah, we pay for the privilege of being wiretapped.
And you pay for the privilege to be a slave to be listened to. And take a good hard look at your electric bill, ladies and gentlemen. You know, what kind of a business charges you to be a customer? Just to have an electric bill in Arkansas, just to be pumped where you're not doing anything, costs $6.86. That's what it costs to be a customer to the electric company. If you have an electric charge of a fee, it may be, in my particular case, my bill was $65. That's how much my energy charge was, $65.97. But the bill, the total amount due, is $115.41. Ladies and gentlemen, what is all, you look at it, what's going on here? Well, you've got the Federal Energy Response imposed payment, which is $22.60. You have the fuel and purchase per kilowatt cost excise tax, $14.98. You have the municipal franchise adjustment tax of $5.74. You have your sales tax for the federal government, your sales tax for the state government, the sales tax for the county government, and it all comes out total to $115 for my bill. Well, there's $50 there's $50 tacked onto this bill in fees, taxes, and if I don't pay it by a certain date, i.e., in this particular case, what's the due date? The due date on this bill is the 17th of March. If I don't pay it by the 17th of March, I have to pay them a $5 extension fee for a late charge. So when somebody asks me, do I pay taxes? I pay taxes. I pay more than my fair share of taxes because I don't generate welfare taxes or the welfare monies that many other people generate. Therefore, I pay probably a lot of my earned income that I don't earn And I say that very religiously. I don't earn an income. I work hard for my money that I do, and I live specifically off of the donations that I get. But when I do work, I work my heart out three times harder for the few dollars that I get. I have something else to say, Don.
What's that?
Real fast.
Go ahead.
And that is to say that before this country became a nation, people lived here off the land, and there was no government. We talk about the American Indians and the modernization of American Indians. They didn't have taxes. They didn't have land ownership. They lived off the land and moved from place to place. And yet they had a society that was full of honor, respect, and they cared about the land. Today, we don't have, our government doesn't care about the land, but they say they got to tax us to care about the land. Don, I'm going to ask you a thing. You write all these great articles about all these people out here that are doing their illegal maneuvering for power.
Mm-hmm.
And from all of the articles that you write, and the assessment that comes forth, and the hard work that you do, the work that people do at BBS Radio, why are we walking and marching in the streets across America screaming like the Greeks are screaming in Greece?
Well, there's how many hours do you have?
Yeah, how many hours do we have for the apathy of American people?
Well, in a nutshell, that's what it's about. You know, the dumbing down and the apathy and the really the irresponsibility that people have accepted. They want to make everybody else responsible for their lot. And I'm not saying that there aren't those doing things that are causing problems. You described it very well when you were talking about all the different ways we're paying taxes. Where's that money going? That money goes into people's pockets, and they're not accountable for it. They're certainly not responsible for it. And so we don't take the responsibility. You've heard me say this before, even on your show. It's an issue of us taking responsibility because those that are supposed to be serving us, that like to call themselves our leaders, they're actually our representatives. You know, the Congress isn't it called the House of Representatives?
But yes, and you said it so apropos. They're serving us. They are serving us. They're serving us on a platter as slaves.
Yeah, yeah. They're serving us something that we didn't order off the menu, that's for sure. Okay, and I can't say what it is on the radio, but everyone can read my mind.
You know? And yet we allow these so-called righteous, as they call themselves, righteous politicians, the right to turn around and do dastardly deeds against we the people, like spy on us. They literally get paid to treat us like dirt animals. And as George Orwell once said, some animals are better than other animals.
I was even going to say, actually, many animals are treated better. In a lot of ways, they get food and water. They don't have to work for it. They give up their lives for it, for what they do eventually. But is that any different from us? You know, they're treated pretty well, I would have to say. Now, there are a lot of animals that are mistreated, but then again, we can revert right back to people. People are mistreated as well in the most obscene ways, I think, in the whole universe. That's how poorly people are mistreated, and they're unaware of it. They're really unaware of it. They think that comes as part of the package of life, you know.
And here we take this day in and day out right now, and we have a British the British patrons are finding that their passport identities have been stolen by Mossad, Israeli Mossad assassins. And yet, are we, the American people and the British people and the German people and the Australians and the New Zealanders, are we upset? Are we shouting from the roof to get Israel to stand up and take responsibility? You know, Don, where were you at in 1967?
In 1967, I was in school and, working in music. I was preparing myself for a professional career in music production and performance. And so, you know, I was taking care of my personal business. You know, do you want to know specifically my location at that time or?
Well, basically, you were studying where at what time in 1967?
I was in high school, and I was studying, general high school courses. By that time, I was well on my way to having earned enough credits to graduate within a 6-month period.
Do you stop and think about it?
Mm-hmm.
As I let everybody know, June 8, 1967, ladies and gentlemen, I was in New Orleans, Louisiana, selling cars for Metre Ford. I had just came down to New Orleans to visit my girlfriend, who was a high school student. In her senior year, she was going into her senior year as a high school student. And I had graduated from C.E. Byrd High School in Shreveport, Louisiana. And I was about to enter into my college education at Louisiana State University. And I had just got through taking the entrance exam the week before, and was kind of keeping it away from everybody because I'd sneaked off from New Orleans up to Baton Rouge to take the exam and to enter a scholarship to go to school. With no fanfare, ladies and gentlemen. It was just one of those, those little, they didn't have the major things they have today for football scholarship. It was like it was offered. Okay, you got it, big deal. It was just like the high school prom. How many people in 1967 went to the high school prom? I didn't even know it existed in 1967. Now, they did have them. I mean, I've got pictures of C.E. Byrd High School prom, but it was for the aristocratic, snob-nosed, upper-crust rich guys.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us that came from the poor side of town, I didn't know anything about it. But the bottom line, on June the 8th, 1967, the USS Liberty was attacked for more than 9 hours with almost hourly aircraft overflights and radar tracking of that day. The Air and Naval Forces of Israel attacked the USS Liberty, a flagship of the United States Navy that held on its raft, the flag of the United States Navy, and on its mast, held high and unmistakable. And at one point, one of the engineers from the radio room put up the largest flag they had on board, which is the burial flag that is placed on caskets that honor men that die at sea. Now, this is not a little flag. It's not the holiday flag, of course, but this flag is one heck of a big flag, ladies and gentlemen. Think about a casket that's 9 feet across the top. And a flag goes across that 9 feet and down each side, each end, for another 18 inches. 12-foot flag, ladies and gentlemen, 12 feet wide. And yet the Israeli aircraft attacked the USS Liberty. And it was held secret from the American people. It didn't hit the newspapers in the United States. A $40 million state-of-the-art signal intelligent platform ship is what the USS Liberty was. And yet we, the people, did not hear about it. It was a cover-up. And I did not know about it for another 2 years on my way to Vietnam when I first found out about it. The USS Liberty Memorial website is out there. You can look at it. But we, the American people, did nothing. And here we are today. Israel has abused our friendship. They've attacked us in these last 40 years. They've killed Americans on American soil around the world, all in the name of their safety. And we as Americans have bowed down and kissed their posterior. And people say I should not be talking about hatred for the Israeli nation. That I'm an anti-Semite, that I don't like Jews. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. I love Israel and Israeli people. I do not like the government Israel. I do not like the Jews and the Sodomites of the Israel government, because they're not true believers. They're not believers of God the Father Almighty or Jesus the Christ. And many of you out there that are hearing my voice tonight say, well, what does that have to do with the taxes that you started to talk about with this show and with France in 1788? I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that it all comes together with the fact that there's evil people at the top that are in control, and they want to show how powerful they are and let somebody know that if you don't give us money, we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that, and we're gonna kill your people. So you better kowtow, you better do what we want you to do, or we're gonna do something, and we're prepared to go to war with you. Well, what was the real measure of 1967? That was the year the Israelis put together their first atomic bomb. And the threat was to the United States, either support us in the coming 9-day war, the coming war we're about to do with Egypt, and keep your mouth shut about what we're about to do, or we're going to place our atomic bomb and murder a whole lot more people.
And, you know, Drew, according to some of the survivors of the Liberty, they swear that Lyndon Baines Johnson, the President of the United States, ordered them to stand down and not to defend themselves. That's a critical part of that attack on the Liberty, is that we had a president.
And that's a lot of those stories come from the commanding officers of other naval vessels that were radio men on other naval vessels. Even the USS aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk was literally 9 hours away and could easily have posted defensive aircraft of the day, the RF-4 to shoot the pictures, but the F-4 fighter jets of that day, modern era aircraft battle educated USS Kitty Hawk men that had just came in from Vietnam could have easily have been on site in less than 2 hours, and yet they were ordered to stand down. And the radio man at the USS Kitty Hawk literally went to his grave mourning the fact that he heard the entire episode through the listening from the radio room of the USS Liberty. And so did the Air Force bases that were stationed in Turkey, in Greece. And yet here we are today, 40 or 50 years later, and Israel is saying that we've got to get support from the United States or the Iran is going to do something and kill us and wipe us off the planet. Well, the Iran hasn't started anything. They don't want anything. Israel wants to do the exact same thing to Iran. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have evil in Iran or in any other Arab country, but ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I'm going to be very blunt. If the British came to the United States with blue helmets on and run up and down the streets of Pennsylvania Avenue and shouted and took control of Washington, D.C. on our soil, do you not think that the American people would not come up and start shooting the British soldiers that were ordered to do that in their complacency? This is what the Arabs are doing in their country. They are defending their country from the invaders. We are the invaders, ladies and gentlemen. We have become the Nazi SS stormtroopers of the modern 21st century. 70 years ago, in 1940, there were generals that stood up and admirals that stood up to the President of the United States and said, we should not be involved in the European wars. We should resign ourselves. 70 years ago, and all of what was going on in the United States was the involvement of doing something to take away the freedoms of American citizens, and they very recently passed the Buck Act. 40 years ago, the Buck Act was introduced and passed. It was named after a congressman. It was basically, that was his only claim to fame, dying in office of a heart attack. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been at, today, 60 years of anniversary from the Buck Act. Our nation was supposedly attacked on 9/11, and here we are, almost 10 years from that date, a full 9 years. And we're looking at enslavement of the American people through a Patriot Act that actually looks exactly like the Enabling Act that Adolf Hitler brought forth to the German people in the 1930s. Where do I go from here? We're paying taxes on land that we own so the government can spy on us, order us to have our papers, and that all the while taking our children, our young men, and our young women, and putting them off to war where they're dying. Already 1,100 American men and women have died in Afghanistan, and I don't hear anybody screaming. Because our soldiers are not there for the people of Afghanistan. They are there guarding poppy fields. And they're rousting the Taliban from cities. Now, I'm not saying that the Taliban is not evil. But I'm telling you, we are the evil invaders. And why are we winning where doing what we're doing and winning where the Russians couldn't? Ladies and gentlemen, we have more military armed forces in the military than Russia has. Our military today is the best trained, best equipped, far more educated than the Russian soldiers are. Our military is trained to the point where in the United States Marine Corps, the Lance Corporals can become the officer in charge of the platoon. If the officer dies, if his second in command dies, if the sergeant major dies, if the second in command of the sergeant major dies, if the gunnery sergeant is killed, if the sergeant is killed, the corporal is killed, the Lance Corporal takes command. No other military training unit in the world is trains their leaders from the ground up. This is why we're winning in Afghanistan, but we're losing our soldiers to the bombs on the side of the road, and nobody's complaining. Everybody is doing their due diligence of driving back and forth to work and paying taxes every day of the week. You think that you don't pay taxes? Look at the fact that you buy gasoline for that automobile. We buy gasoline for an automobile that is obsolete. We pay taxes on the electric bill that is obsolete. We have scientists lying to us about global warming. We have scientists telling us that there's no problem with the air. We have scientists telling us that we need to do something to the sea, the clouds out there, and put some kind of a cover over the United States because the sun's too hot. So we have these chemtrails that is full of bromide and all sorts of chemicals. And we sit here with our seven-course dinner watching the ice skates of the Olympics and mourn with the Canadian girl whose mother died. I feel for the Canadian girl. I really feel for her and all the hard work that she did, but I don't have to sit in front of an idiot box with a seven-course dinner to know that we have a more severe problem when we have police officers who demand our papers, who set up roadblocks to make sure you got your papers, and if you don't, you're going to lose your car without trial. They're going to take it away, and you got to pay to get it back.
You know, Drew, you brought up a point that I'd like to talk about. You said
go right ahead.
You said in Afghanistan that we are winning, but I question, and I'm not challenging your statement other than to make a statement myself. And I would say, what is it we're winning when we're over there guarding poppy fields, when we're over there and this private cabal that's stealing from the country's coffers and murdering its people and murdering people around the world, where is there any honor in winning such a war? Recently, within the past 2 days, I heard a regular newscaster on television just come out and say, in the war in Afghanistan, the opium capital of the world. And then on the weekend, I heard a color commentator, you were mentioning the Olympics, a color commentator at the end of a skating performance. This was a dance, ice dancing, okay, making the comment, and it was something like this: New World Order North American ice skaters are trying to take over the rest of the world. Where does a color commentator on a sporting event, which is considered entertainment, get off describing the competitors as New World Order and then whatever country they're from. Or
she's reading from a script. Not reading from the heart. These color commentators are controlled robots.
Exactly.
We don't have free speech in media anymore. We don't have honorable men in media, just like we don't have honorable commanding officers in the military who stand up and kill children in Afghanistan, which is where I'm referring to specifically, but it happens all over the world, where our government is allowing and is complicit with the murder of children right here on our soil, from Waco to the Murrah Building to 9/11 to all the way to Afghanistan, where just the other day 131 children were killed in airstrikes that by the United States government under their flag of NATO. And I say winning. I said we're winning. We are winning the war of evil because we are the evil. We are winning as the evil cabal in Afghanistan. For what reason? They have been fighting in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Iran, in Persia, for 8,000 years in their tribal wars. But the United States of America, in less than 4 years, has murdered more people in the region of Afghanistan, Iraq, in the last 4 years that have been murdered by the leaders of all of the Arab countries in the last 100. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to take my word for it. It's on the internet.
Oh, and
the warlords are out there.
Yeah, they predicted, if you remember, a few years back that this war was going to last 100 years. You remember that?
Exactly. And they are pushing it to last. But it's we, the people, are going to have to do something. And, you know, here we are. Where are we getting the money? You know, the only reason this war is going on is because all of these soldiers, stop and think about this, ladies and gentlemen. If all of these soldiers who were trained were back here, they would not have jobs. Because we are shipping our jobs outside this country. Yet we as Americans are the third largest exporting nation in the world. Third. Who's first? China, obviously, but barely. Rank number two, just $500 million behind China, is Germany. Well, you think $500 million in export goods that shouldn't be pretty close. $1.297 trillion. And yet, $1.9 trillion, and Germany sits behind them at $1.4 trillion. That's how close it is. The United States falls way back from there, and yet we as Americans we're not helping our nation. We're allowing other countries to destroy us because we're allowing the fascist elitists to move jobs outside this country. Well, show me where. Okay, I'll show you, ladies and gentlemen. Whirlpool. Manufacturers of Whirlpool washing machines, dryers, ice boxes, and other appliances under the Whirlpool banner name. And they have not just one banner name. They've got seven others. You go into Sears. You think the Sears products is manufactured for Sears by a Sears company? I got news for you. Whirlpool makes all the washing machines, and they make them in other countries, Mexico and Colombia, to be exact.
Now, Drew, wouldn't you think that any responsible journalist, we're just speaking in generalities here, getting a line, the first line saying New World Order in describing ice skaters or in describing anyone participating in the Olympics, which is supposed to be a non-political or apolitical event, right? It's not supposed to be about politics. It's supposed to be about the brotherhood of mankind and the joining together of spirits. Prefacing it with the words New World Order, people should be outraged. They should boycott NBC, CNBC, MSNBC, the USA Network, all of the ones owned by General Electric should be boycotted. And by doing that, you take money, or you stop money from going into the pockets of the Rockefellers also. It's disgusting what's going on. It really is. And that no one, I haven't heard anybody mention that. I don't know. And it's not like I'm sitting around watching TV all day. It was just a quick span to see what, if anyone was saying anything about a worthy news item as to something going on in the world. And that's what I caught when it came on.
Well, that's, you know, and that's what I'm bringing forth here with your audience, trying to let them know that the new world order of these elitists, they have moved the jobs offshore, and yet with a simple thing, one simple measure by the United States government could not only get us out of debt, bring jobs back to America, and make this country the greatest nation in the world instead of an empire builder, instead of a Nazi, fascist, Stalinist, Maoist conqueror, murderer, and that is to put tariffs on the goods and the services of jobs that are taken outside this country. We don't need a company in New Delhi with 10,000 employees coming to work three times a day. Ooh, did I let something out of the bag there? Did you hear that? 10,000 employees three times a day? Ladies and gentlemen, 7 days a week, there are 10,000 employees. 30,000 people are hired and work in phone banks answering telephone calls from the United States of America to give you directions or answer questions about products that you bought or banking on your bank account. 30,000 employees a day, 7 days a week. And yet you sit there and you say, man, I was talking to somebody today, couldn't barely speak English. Where do these people get hired at? What are they doing in New York City? Those people do not work in New York City. The elitists have maneuvered the phone lines to the point where you make a call in New York City and you think you're calling a company discussing your credit card from your bank that you had in California, and a phone call rings in New Delhi or Bombay or Macau. And somebody over there answers the phone call, and they are so polite. They are extremely polite.
But they don't know anything.
But they don't know anything. And yet the New World Order is out there, and they it's shoving it in our throats, even at the Olympics, that is supposed to be goodwill for everybody. No politics, no mandates, But I've not, Don, you heard it once, and I've heard it three times. The New World Order.
Yeah.
And there's chaos among Christians around the world. Here in the United States, there is chaos in amongst Christians here in the United States. Many of you out there are trying to figure out, is Obama the biblical Antichrist? I get it day in and day out before my radio show. I can't tell you. He doesn't walk around making me get 666 tattooed on my posterior or on my driver's license because I don't have one. I don't take any government privileges. I don't believe I have to have those things, and I have fought it and won in a court. There's a striking discovery out there. After assessing over 3,000 pieces of documentation, I've researched, I've uncovered damning and frightening evidence that changes, you know, the whole view of Barack Long-Legged MacDaddy in Washington, D.C., to the point where, in light of all the chilling evidence, I find that this man is not only evil, he makes all the evil men behind the scenes that control him look like church social priests. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're in for some bad times ahead. I'm going to tell you all, the Don Nikoloff Show, it's time to wake up. You need to get your guns, your ammo, your food, your gold, your silver, and get yourselves out of paper money and stock up and get ready ASAP. On my show today, I was given a warning. A major warning came to my show in the form of an instant message from a man whose wife was the sister of a National Guardsman. The National Guardsman is the commanding officer for the state National Guard, and I will not mention the state. I told him I would do everything I could to keep it from my audience. And the word was, he had just came back from a meeting with National Guardsmen, commanding officers from this area of the United States, where he was told to get his advisors and his unit commanders and have them all in a top secret memo room and advise him to get with his ASAP to bring forth enough food into their house for 90 days and have $1,000 in cash in their possession at all times. And they should have it ready by April the 1st. No later than April the 1st. There's something coming down in the next 5 weeks. I don't know what, I don't know where, but I can bring you the water, ladies and gentlemen. I can tell you to be prepared. Don Nikoloff can tell you to be prepared, but it's up to you. And you have to understand that I'm not going to be a victim like my cousins were in New Orleans right after Katrina, who were beaten up. Their guns were taken away from them. And after the military, National Guard, and police took their guns and left them defenseless, my second cousin went to work, even though we're talking about the city was basically in a lockdown. He still had a job because where he worked, in the job function that he did, he still had a responsibility to do something. He left his wife and two daughters and son, age 9, at home to come home that afternoon and find out that a gang had come in, kicked the door in, the back door, raped his two daughters, raped his wife, beat up his son, and took all his food and everything and his bullets away from the family. And his daughters were well trained in weaponry. His son was well trained in weaponry. His wife had a black belt, but she, as she said, she could not fight against a man holding a rifle at her. When they took the guns in New Orleans away from the honest, law-abiding people, ladies and gentlemen, the criminals had guns, and they exercised their right of abuse. And all of this plays to the fact that we as Americans are sitting here eating our 7-course dinner, even as our own naval ships were blasted out of the water 40 years ago by the Mossad, the Israelis, and we've done nothing. Israel ignores us. They treat us like slaves, like evil, and yet Israel is evil. We have become the Nazi SS that we fought in World War II. And our government has forgotten one thing. There are 12 million men and women from Vietnam that are 58 years old, 59 years old, all the way up to age 70. And yes, a lot of those men and women that are 65 to 70 are in extremely poor health. But the vast majority of the 12 million men that served in combat with me in Vietnam, we may be a little out of shape. We may not be able to run up and down the hills with an 80-pound pack on our back, because we didn't do it in Vietnam. We didn't run through the jungle with 80-pound packs. We ran through the jungle with 10-pound packs. And I'm prepared to run through the mountains of the United States with a 10-pound pack. I'm prepared not to go quietly in the night. I don't have any cash. I take any cash donations and put it into gold and silver as fast as I can get my hands on it. I stock up with food. I can literally lock my front door, board my windows up, turn the power off, and live off of the inverters and the batteries that I have in my house, inside my house, where I'll never have a dark minute, and live off the food that I have. Pre-cooked canned beef from a friend of mine in Ohio. The freeze-dry guy has got food. I have a water collection system that collects water off of the roof that goes into 55-gallon drums on the backside of my house. And the water goes through a water purifying system that a hand pump brings the water in from those 55-gallon drums.
Drew, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're going to have to end the show here in a brief moment.
I took up that whole hour, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Well, that's why you're a guest on the show.
I'll shut up and leave this to one last thing. People have got to be prepared. In a war, just like 1788 and 1789, is coming to the United States, and I will close with this comment. God bless America and forgive us of our sins.
Yes, and awaken those that are still sleeping.
Amen.
And teach people to accept responsibility for their own lives. Because doing that, they're going to take into consideration the lives of other people, and this madness will end. But, Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show. And
want to ask you something. Would you do me a favor? Would you stop making that clock go so darn fast?
Well, we must be having fun. Don't they say time flies when you're having fun? So I want to let people know they can listen to your show, and also they can see the direct link to your show if they go to your website, amd.elequity.com. And the AMD stands for the name of the radio show, A Marine's Disquisition. And I want to thank you for being on the show and want to wish you a great weekend coming up here in the day. And look forward to your visits with us next month.
I appreciate it.
And
God bless. I'll
be on your show next Monday. So.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, you think I occupy this show? You want to see Don on my show.
Well, we cover a lot of topics, too. So I appreciate your insights. Certainly that video that I played about the tax man, that got you wound up, and that's sort of what I wanted to do anyway. So, Drew, take care. Thanks for being on the show. As always, Semper Fi.
Semper Fi to all my Marines and around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and off Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very much for inviting me, and I don't mind coming back again next month.
Okay. Folks, there you have it. That's the end of our show. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Seth Hendrick on the sound this evening, and want to thank personally Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.